The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
One word splashed across London's independent newspaper this morning, the word contagion. We've talked about it on this program regarding the troubles in Europe right now, financial troubles. Is it a financial panic? Have we gone from Greece's very serious problems to the catastrophic potential problems if Italy has a full-scale default? Investors are still nervous all over the Italian debt situation. Bond rates ran past a crucial 7% mark yesterday, and that put global markets in a serious wobble. They plunged here in the U.S., in Asia today. Europe may be rebounding this morning, but the official line from the Eurozone is that it may fall back into a recession, and the implications for the global economy, particularly U.S. exports, would be huge. Joining us is Rachel Donadio, Rome bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Where do we stand this morning, Rachel?
Where do we stand? Well, we stand with a lot of political uncertainty and economic uncertainty here in Italy. Now, as you know, yesterday, Italian bond yields hit record highs of about 7% yesterday. That means that at those rates, Italy would need to spend billions more of its public financing just paying its creditors, and that could lead to huge problems in the future. In the immediate term, what's happened is that Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has said he will indeed step down once Parliament passes some new austerity measures to make way for a new political order, a new government. Today, it's looking more and more likely that Mario Monti, a former European commissioner and a well-respected technocrat, might be brought in to lead a new government. Now, that involves a ton of political wrangling here in Italy. Basically, the issue is that the entire political order, the political class here, doesn't want to give up its power and privileges to make way for a technocratic government that would push through economic reforms that would damage, you know, party politics. But it's come to this. I mean, the house is on fire, and someone has to come and help put out the fire. I think that the president of Italy, 86-year-old former communist Giorgio Napolitano, has been guiding things as best he can to ensure that there is going to be a somewhat, coherent democratic transition here. Complicating matters is the fact that this is not just the debt crisis hitting Italy. It's the end of the Berlusconi era. It's the end of an era in which Berlusconi has so totally dominated the political landscape here that the old party politics system isn't as strong as it used to be, and it's very unclear what could happen next.
We're talking with Rachel Donadio, Rome bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, and I love what you just said there. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. There's a communist Italian president guiding the Eurozone's market economy to save capitalism.
He's a former member of the Italian Communist Party. He was always more part of the kind of Atlanticist wing. But, you know, the three people who are overseeing, you know, the future of Italy right now are Napolitano, a former communist, Mario Draghi, the new head of the European Central Bank, who's a former Goldman Sachs guy, and Mario Monti, if he is indeed appointed prime minister, that is not a done deal yet. He's kind of one of the steering members of the Bilderberg Group, kind of a group of, big deal power brokers.
Technocrats. They're technocrats. It's a technocrat kind of a role there. Rachel Donadio, how does this feel on the streets of Rome? The more the Italian government looks like it's doing specifically the bidding of financiers and, say, the European Central Bank, that sort of thing, the more this calms down for investors, but the more it becomes inflamed politically inside Italy. How does that work?
Well, it's a really interesting situation. I mean, Berlusconi has arguably done a lot of damage to Italy politically, economically in recent years. But he may not be remembered as the guy who liked underage girls, you know, in the hot tub. He may be remembered as the first major European leader who was essentially ousted by market forces more than the political logic within his own country. Now, you could argue this is perhaps inevitable considering the debt crisis. But, you know, Italy is too big to bail out. Its economy is too big. And so they're buying time, hoping that the European Union, which is deadlocked over how to proceed, can come up with some backup mechanism to the euro. I mean, the euro is an intellectually incoherent currency if it has to include both Greece and Germany. And the question now for Italy is whether Italy will go with Germany or go with Greece.
Yeah, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, said yesterday, it is time for a breakthrough to a new Europe. Do Europeans, and particularly Italians, view that as, well, she's not talking about the new Europe, she's talking about the old Europe that was broken up. Or is there really some new Europe that we haven't envisioned yet that's beyond this?
Well, I think a new Europe would entail two Europes, would entail some countries that are in the euro and others that aren't. But that's a long, painful process. And, you know, if Merkel is calling for a breakthrough, then it's up to her more than anybody else to come up with that breakthrough. I mean, these southern rim countries where I live are filled with problems. But the other problem is the one at the heart of the European project, which is the euro.
You mentioned a moment ago, this is Rachel Donadio, Rome Bureau Chief for our partner, the New York Times. You mentioned a moment ago that the Berlusconi era is ending. Has he spoken about that, and has he commented publicly on his era ending?
Well, he offered to resign the other day. The problem is that no one believed him. And in fact, yesterday, the president of Italy had to issue a note saying, yes, he is going to resign after Parliament passes these austerity measures. He called into a television program on national television saying that, you know, it's clear to him that the country is in bad shape, and he did offer to resign. He is going to go with a fight, but, you know, it's a complicated system. You can't, as in any country, if you have a system that's been in place for 10, 20 years, it's very hard to dismantle that overnight. And so, you know, he doesn't want to leave power, but he's going to have to. And, I mean, he'll still have some role in public life, but he won't be prime minister anymore.
Out of Brussels, the word is that Europe may fall into a recession. From the perspective of people in southern Europe, particularly outside of Rome in Italy, do they feel that they're already in a recession?
Absolutely. I mean, this Italy is a country that suffers from great structural problems. It doesn't grow. When the world economy grew in leaps and bounds in the late 90s, Italy's economy did not. And so there's been, you know, the growth prospects for Italy are lower than those of other countries. The issue on the street is people just feel like their salaries don't go as far as they used to, and the cost of living goes up.
All right, Rachel Donadio, Rome Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, on the line from Rome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.